Greetings and welcome back to another in an ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bechorot Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, Mishnah Chet of this the eighth parak. Chet. In Potin Lo Ba'avadim V'lo B'Shtarot V'lo B'Karkaot V'lo B'Hekteshot. So we do not redeem. We do not do Pinyon HaBen with using slaves or shtar or real estate. And not hektesh, and that last phrase, lo hektesh, is a little bit difficult, and we'll deal with it. By the way, this Mishnah, as you could tell, is dealing with, again, the means of payment, whereas before when we talked about the specific kind of coin, and then at the end said you could use things in trade, we said which things you cannot use. Katava coin shechayav liten lo chamisha slayim. Let's say you wrote a shtar to the coin that I owe you five slayim. Chayav liten lo, you have to give it to him. Menomen el padui, it doesn't help, your son is not redeemed, and we'll see why. But the coin does have the right, after getting the money, to pay back the Yisrael. We'll hear some stories about that. Let's say a fellow sets aside money for Pinyon HaBen, and he loses it, or it gets lost. He's still chayav to make it up, and he can't say, well, I designated the money, just like we would say with Truma, and now it's taken care of. The answer is it's not taken care of, and you need to get it to him. Shneamar yihyalach and ufado tifteh, meaning that money belongs to you, the coin, and indeed you, the Israel, should redeem. Meaning you have to redeem until you make sure it gets to him. Okay, matnitin delo karebi. The Mishnah that excluded avadim shtarot and karka, we'll leave hektesh shalom for a little bit, does not follow Rebbe. Why did Tanya? Rebbe omer bakol podin b'chor adam chutz min ashtarot. Rebbe has only one thing that cannot be used for Pidyon HaBen, and that is shtar. So my time at a Rebbe, why does Rebbe say shtar is the only one that can't be used? The answer is dar is ribui umiyuti. Now there are two different approaches to reading legal texts of the Torah, which use general categories and then specific examples. Do we read the examples as models that help us understand what should be on the list? Or do we read the examples as simply being there to disqualify the least likely item from coming on the list? That latter system is called Ribuyu Miyuti, and it's a system generally championed by Rabbi Akiva. And in this case, evidently, Rabbi accepts it. Why? Because Uftiyav Men Chodesh Tifteh Riba. That's a general statement that says, redeem. Berkecha Kesef Chamesh Shkalim, that's Miyut, because that says specifically use silver. Tifteh, it says redeem, Riba, that's a separate Ribuy. Ribuyu Miyut for Riba, when you have Ribuy followed by an exclusion, followed by an expansive statement, Riba Hakol. The reality is that it includes everything, casts a wide net. Of course, that miut has to be there for some purpose. So, my Rabbi Komili, everything's included. My miut, so what's excluded? One thing's excluded. What's the least likely thing? The thing furthest away from silver? Shtarot, because a shtar has no inherent value. So, Rabbanan, who say that we not only exclude shtarot, we also exclude karkan avadim, why? Darshi Klaluprat, they use the Klaluprat system championed by Rabbi Ishmael. And how does that work? In that case, the Prat is not just a marker to say one thing's excluded, but it is a guide to tell us which things are excluded. Uftiyav men chodesh klal. Prat. Tiftech azav achalal. Klaluprat akal. They adana kilin a prat. We follow the model of the Prat. Just like the Prat is something where explicitly we know it is something that can be moved, kesef, and it has inherent value. Therefore, it has to be anything included on the list, has to be something that's metaltalin and has inherent value. So, yatsu, karko, it's a karka's out, shen metaltalin. You can't move it. Yatsu, avadim, avadim, rout, shukshulu karko, the famous pasuk. That avadim are bequeathed to your children like land, and therefore, karka and avadim are compared. And so therefore, avadim are also out. Yatsu shtarot, shapish matatan, gufan mamon. Shtar is out because it has no inherent value. Good. I'm a Ravino Meimah. So Ravino Tos Meimah says, Rabbi, ribui miut, didarish. And so when is Rabbi a fan of ribui miut? Rabbi, kali prat didarish. We saw this very recently in the case of the martzea, the awl used to puncture the ear of the Eved Ivri who wants to stay. Tani martzea, in the Ela martzea, and now about chasoba, sirav, machav, vachteach, vachtev. How do I know that I can include pretty much anything that pierces tamalomar velakachta? Therefore, the Torah says, take it in your hand. But kol rosh lekach payad, anything you can take in your hand that'll make a hole, that works. The verbios of Yehuda. Rebbe Omer, and that's what I'm concerned with here, Marzeh, Ma Marzeh Miuchad Shomatechet, of course Shomatechet, he says, no, it has to be metal, just like the awl that's given as the example. V'amrinan, and in our analysis we said, but Maika, Mipalgi, what's their disagreement? Rebbe Darish Klalu Prati, Rebbe Yosef Yehuda Darish Miur Biyuti. Rebbe learns Klalu Prat, and therefore he says, Lakachta Klal, Marzeh Prat, Posnova Delet Klal, and therefore, we follow the guide of Marzeah, has to be Matachet. And therefore, it includes everything except one thing. Whatever that one thing is, a drug, you put something on the ear that's like a drug that'll make a hole, an acid or something. So the answer is in. Ba'alma Rebbe Kalu Prati Darish. Moreno answers to Ravina. He says, you know, you're right. Normally, Rebbe is a fan of Kalu Prat. And that's what he does in Marzeah. But our case of Pitin Ben is different. Because Hacha the Kalam of Ishmael, and we have this sugya in Chulin. We talked about the issue of finding fish that do not fit the simanim, but they're found in lagoons as opposed to in the yamim. And that diyun revolved around this particular issue. And so in that case, Tanan Rebbe Shmuel said that whatever you have, the same words show up, b'mayim, and b'mayim, and they're next to each other, and the prat comes afterwards, in that case, you read it as a ribu yumiyut. So it's an exception to the rule. What did the Rabbanan say to that? So he said, "My mishteh pamim ain't the kol prat el ribu yumiyut." Rabbanan say, "I'm reading marava." When a kosher talmud says, "Shtei kolot asfuchim zelazet," they have a different rule. Anytime you have kol and prat, Hatel prat panim, but do not call it prat. Imagine the prat moving and being inserted between the two kolim, and then you employ kol prat uklal, and that's why they come up with karka avadim and shtarot all being knocked out. Okay, well, back to Shul. The fourth item on the mission and the list of the Mishnah was hekdesh, and it was very strange. I pointed out pshita lav didaninu. Obviously, you don't own the hekdesh. Why would you think you could use it? The answer is ema v'lo hekdeshot b'chol elu. Don't think that it means you can't use hekdesh, but it means you can't redeem hekdesh with eved and karka either. Okay. Katav lo kohen shu chayav lo chamisha slaim, chayav liten lo. The Mishnah said that if you write a star to the kohen that you owe him this month, five slaim, you have to give it to him, and your kid's not redeemed. Amar ula dvar Torah beno padu lechshiyitain. And it's a big machloket whether or not to read the word lechshiyitain. Right now we'll read it this way. Ula says that mita oraita, your son is certainly redeemed, even if you wrote a star, once you give the money. My time ain't been on padui, because why did the rabbi say ain't been on padui? Because it'll look, people will think that you can use a shtar to redeem your son, because after all, that's exactly what you did. You gave a shtar, and your son was redeemed. So to make sure that doesn't happen, you have to pay the separate thing. Tayetana kamedu Rav Nachman, b'no padui lechshiyitain. So a Tana taught that in front of Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman, zudi Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda stimta. You're quoting our Mishnah, which is either Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, or is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon stimta, the generation just before Rabbi. In other words, they're presented as stam in the Mishnah. Aval chachamim omrim, what's the position? Ain b'no padui. That's either, they either as a do'oraita, or else, they said the gzera was made so tough that even b'diavad, your kid's not redeemed until you pay separately the five slaim, v'hilchata, im b'no padui, and that is the halacha. But the coin can give it back. All of these cases are fine. If you take the five slaim and put it down in front of a group of kohanim and walk away, you're yotze. If you pay a single coin and you pay him in installments, you're yotze. Once you pay all full. If you pay it to the coin and he gives it back to you, you're yotze. You did your job, you paid him. Chacham negosha b'tafrim. B'tafrim was a coin to have this minag sheyam will tell the machzir. You say pinyon aben and pay it back to the father. Shamu chacham medavar murkiyem zeh halacha zu. The Chachamim heard about this and they said, oh, Rabbi Tarfon fulfilled this halacha. Halacha zu, but too low, that's the only thing he fulfilled. What they meant was, this rabbi fulfilled even this halacha. Everything including this halacha. And they saw it as a positive thing. However, there's a downside. Rabbi Chanina Aviraga was shakil umhader. Rabbi Chanina was also a kohen, and he used to take the five slaim, and he'd return it typically. Chazlu gavra dahave ka'azuv ati kamei. So he saw a father who was Yisrael, who kept coming around, making himself very available to receive it back. Amar lo gamart v'yavid midam? Bish, hilkachem b'no padui. He said, you did not really intend to fully give it to me. You gave it to me waiting to get it back. Therefore, your son's not really redeemed because you didn't give it p'leiv mole. You have to give it fully. What I decide afterwards to give it back to you, it's my business. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, Amafish b'pidyon b'no v'avar chayab b'achrayuto. Said that if somebody sets aside the pidyon aben, then he is chayav ba'achrayut, and if it gets lost, he has to pay it back in any case. Because we find erkacha kesef chameshet shkalim here, and erkacha throughout arachin. And in arachin, if you make a commitment to give money, you have to give that money. The fact that you set it aside doesn't help. It's not like truma. He had a different take. He said there's a pasuk and in Kitisa that says you have to redeem your children and don't show up empty handed to the mikdash. So in other words, this is related to olat riya. Just like if you set aside a korban olat riya and come to the mikdash and it died in the meantime or got lost, you have to bring another one. Same thing with pidyon aben. Very nice, but there's a problem. Papa, call the car. Would I need a pasuk to add to the pasuk that's already in the Mishnah? Yalach and Pado Tifteh. So what are you bringing me two other pasukim? Alama Papa, Harik Tani Taima, Yalach Ach Pado Tifteh. The Mishnah gave its own reason. Chidma de Resh Lakish, a Resh Aidmar. Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yonatan's pasukim that they brought in were for an earlier Mishnah that said, if the father dies after 30 days, if the son dies, but lived 30 days, but then died, even though the father didn't yet pay, he still has to pay. So why would he have to pay? The son's dead. The answer is, if you say, I'm going to give the erech of some guy, and before you have a chance to give it, he dies, you still have to pay it. So the pidyon aben is an obligation put on any father whose wife gives birth to petor rechem who lives 30 days. So now the connection to olat riyah is simply that if father set aside an olat riyah and then died before that yom tov came, his sons have to bring it. So the same thing here, that the death does not erase the obligation to pay the 5 Slaim. Okay, the next Mishnah Tet, now goes into the rule of the Bechor. HaBechor notel Pishnayim b'nichsei ha'av ve'no notel Pishnayim b'nichsei ha'em. The Bechor l'nachala, what does he get? He gets a double portion, but only in father's estate, not mother's estate. They don't tell Shevach. He also does not get double portion in anything that appreciated after father's death. And also he does not inherit a double portion of Ra'ui, meaning things that only were going to come after father died. Like if father predeceased his father, then when the grandfather dies and that Nachava comes down, the Bechor day gets an equal portion, not a double portion. Meaning when a woman comes to collect Tuba, she does not collect Shevach or Ra'ui or B'nichsei Ha'em of the family. V'loban opens on a tan, and parallel and in tandem with that, when a man makes an agreement, we have this in Almoni Nizonet in the latter Parakim of Ketubot, the man makes an agreement to have the daughter, marries a woman and agrees to have the daughter is fed from the estate, or Ketubat Benan Duchra, Benan Nukvan, then they also cannot collect from Shevach and Ra'ui, etc. V'lo ha'yavam. A yavam who marries the dead brother's wife inherits the dead brother's property, but he does not get Shevach or Ra'ui or Nichseim. There we go. Now, my time, what's the reason that a Bechor only gets from the mother, from the father's estate? Amakra, v'lo mishpata Bechora. He has the Mishpat HaBechora, he the Bechor, but the use of lo means Mishpat HaBechora Le'ishvet, Mishpat HaBechora Le'isha means it only goes to the father's estate, from the father's estate, not the mother's estate. Why does he not get Shevach? He says, he gets double portion in everything that is found, meaning that's there when the father dies. We take an assessment when father dies, what the property is valued, then if it appreciates over time before they do the division, that difference does not get cut with the extra portion in. Why? Same reason. Because ra'ui means it's something that didn't fall to the father's estate when the father was alive. It only came afterwards. And when the father died, that's the moment that everything gets frozen. Rav Shmuel said that a Baal Chov can collect Shevach, meaning there's property that a Baal Chov has a claim on. And the property was worth $100,000, but the loan is, let's say, worth $150,000. The Baal Chov can collect from that Shevach if the property went up. The answer is that in the case of a ktubah, there is a leniency. And in general, there's a leniency of collection of ktubah as opposed to other things. And therefore, even though Baal Chov can collect a ktubah, a woman cannot collect a ktubah that way. Because the daughter's being able to collect support from the estate when the father dies is a rider on the ktubah. So therefore, it takes on the financial aspect of the ktubah. Velo hayavam, what's that, my tam? Bachor kai rachmana, because the Torah calls the avam a bachor. Yakum al shem, v'abachor shevaleid is really referring to the avam, not to the son. Amar bai roshana lo shavach sheshavchu nechosim ben mital liyibum. Abai and Rabbi have the following disagreement. Abai says that this freezing of assets only happens between the death of the brother and when the brother then marries the widow. But if subsequent to marrying the widow, then they do the chaluka of property, or then father dies and they divide up the property, Shakil, he does get a double portion in anything that happened after Yibum. Why? Yakum al shem achiv. He stands in lieu of his brother, and the minute he did Yibum, he's already in lieu of his brother. Rava says, no, anything that happens after death is frozen, even after he does Yibum, doesn't help. Because after all, the most he is like a Bechor. A Bechor does not get anything from the moment of death of the father till it's divided up, anything different than anybody else. Only what existed at that point. Same thing with this Yavam. Okay, V'chulan ein notlin b'shevach. Why did it say that? Latuye shivcha d'memela. Why did they add at the end of the Mishnah to say, even Shevach that happens automatically, chafur v'abushuvli, like grass that becomes into the hay that gets moist and grows into grass, shuvli avitmari, or little buds that turn into dates, automatically, still you don't get the Shevach. Or we can muchsak, what's that? Latu nechse da aviyaba, the example that I gave of the father died, and after that his father died, and then it came into the estate, there the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. Okay, the last Mishnah on the Perek goes on to something of a tangential nature, and that is Ve'elu she'en chozrin bayovel. Remember, the Torah said that when you sell land during the period that Yovel is operating, when Yovel comes, it goes back to the owners. So which sort of things do not revert during Yovel? So HaBechora, which means that and it's unclear whether it means that the person holds on to his double portion, or it just means he continues to claim a double portion, but the land that is given to the Bechor, the property given to the Bechor, that extra part doesn't go back. Hayoresh et ishto, somebody who inherits from his wife dies. Ve'amnyabem et eshtachiv, or yavam. Ve'hamatana, or a gift. A gift doesn't get go back. Divrei Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir. Hamorim ve'hamatana kemecher. Cham disagree, and they say a gift is like a sale, and it goes back. Rav Elazar omer, kulam chozim biyovel. He says they all go back biyovel. We'll see why. Yochanan ben Brukah omer, hayoresh et ishto yachzu l'vnei mishpacha. Says if you inherit from your wife, you have to return that property to the family. We'll see under what conditions. And you can't ask for full payment back. You've got to give them a discount. We'll see what all of that means. Let's start with this. My tamid Rav Meir. Why does Rav Meir say that a matana is untouched by Yovel and remains? Because he says, because the Torah said, when you sell something, it goes back. Yovel. Matana Yerusha lo, not a gift, not a Yerusha. Hani Mirusha, Yerusha, Vahani Mirusha. and the Bechor is from Yerusha. Yerusha de Matana, Matana. So therefore, the things that are listed in the Mishnah are either Yerusha or Matana. Bechor is Latet Lo Pishnaim, it's a Matana. Matana Kari Rachmana. Okay, Vayolish at Yishto, what's that? Yerusha Baal Doraita. Because Rameir says that the fact that the husband inherits from his wife, which is a machloket, as we saw in the 8th parak of Batra, what does that mean? Is that Ishto? If it's Doraita, then that's very simply Yerusha. Because after all, Yavam is called a Bechor, and therefore, just like a Bechor's gift is not taken away at Yovel, because according to Meir, because it's called a Matana, because Latet Lo Pishnayim, similarly Yavam, and a Yorish Dishto because of Yerusha. Okay, Chamo Mi Matana Kemecher, my time in Rabbanon, why do Rabbanon say that a gift is like Mecher? Because Tashuvu, at the end of the Kipasuk about Yovel, it says Tashuvu. That last word Tashuvu is extra. You return the Rabot Matana, not just sales, but also gifts go back. So therefore, that changes everything. V'hani Kulu Yerushaninu. So therefore, Yoreshit Ishto and Bechor are all Yerusha things. The only thing we disagree about is an outright gift. Bechor Amakralatet Lo Bishnayim, but they don't read like Rameir did that Latet, meaning the Matana is the key word, but rather Makish Chelik Bechor L'Chelik Pashut, that the Bechor is compared to the regular portion. Machlek Pashut Yerusha, just like a regular portion is Yerusha and doesn't get touched at Yovel, Chel Bechor Yerusha, so Bechor is the same thing. Not because of Matana, because that would hurt them. Now, that's how they read it. And Yerusha Baal is Doraita, Yavam is called a Bechor. The first thing is, he uses the Rabbanon against Reb Meir, then Matana goes back. But then he also agrees with Reb Meir that Anikula Matana Ninu, because Bechor is Latet Lo Bishnayim. Bechor is a Matana, and therefore it does go back. Matana Karachmana. He holds that Yerusha Baal is only Rabbanon, and Midoraita doesn't belong to him, so at Yovel it goes back. So Midoraita to Yerusha, from the Torah perspective, it's like a lakoach. It's like he bought it as part of the ketubah. And we already said that a Bechor, his portion, does go back, so therefore this one is also going to go back. Amar Rasi Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'achim shechalku, very famous statement of Rabbi Yochanan, l'kuchotein. When brothers divide up the estate, they are considered like buyers from each other. Machzirin zel azeb yovel. They have to, every time Yovel comes, they have to return all of the property to each other. We said the Bechora doesn't get returned in Yovel in our Mishnah. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say this? What does Ein Chozrin mean? Ein Chozrin the Batala. What that means is that you don't, Ein Chozrin in our Mishnah does not mean that you don't redivide. You do redivide, but it means you don't lose your claim. That's what it means. So Bechor, everything's a redivided, but he still has a claim on two parts. So Shesha turned around and said, you mean the one who said Chozrin, like Rabbi Elazar and Amishta said, Chozrin Batala, and a Bechor only has his Pishtayim for maximum 49 years, and after that doesn't get it, and he's treated like a regular guy? So Kari Rav Chama led Rav Shesha. It was well known Rav Shesha was a storehouse of Brightot. So Rav Chama, or probably Rabbi Rav Chama said about him, Tova Chochmaim Nachala. It's good to have some wisdom along with your legacy. Meaning, in this case, you have a legacy of Brightot, but you also have to know what the Amoraim are saying. He didn't hear what Ravin came to Bavel and reported Rav Yochanan's name. Going back to either Rav Yochanan or Rav Elazar, but either way, quoting Rav Elazar and Shemua, who is the Rav Elazar of our Mishnah. That's critical to understand that here, to understand that he's commenting on the Chozrin. My Chozrin, Chozrin the Batala. When I say Chozrin, I mean they actually wipe it out. So, Rav Sheshet, your answer is wrong. Yochanan Bruka Omer, Ayosh Dishto Yachzir Levinei Mishpacha. Right, so at the end of the Mishnah, Yochanan Bruka said that if you inherit from your wife, you have to return it, but you get paid for it, but you have to discount it. So Micah Savar, Ikasav Yerushalayim Baal Doraita, if he holds, like most here, that Yerushalayim Baal Doraita, Yachzir Levinei Mishpacha, why does he have to return the item? It's his. The Ikasav Yerushalayim Baal Dorabonim, by the way, he doesn't mention Yovel, he just says you have to return it, we don't know when. If you think it's drabbanan, dami mai retire, then why is he getting paid for it and discounting how much they're paying him? So the answer is lema kasar yishur abal doraita. This is a whole different case. His wife owned a family cemetery. And when she died, it came to him. The Rabbanan had a concern for family honor, because it would be sort of a stain on the family's honor if their family cemetery was to be lost. So they said, you have to accept their payment and give it back to them. They have to pay. For instance, the Braita says that if a person sells his own kever or the an easement to the kever, all these things associated with funerary rituals, the family comes and can force him to be buried there in that spot to keep the honor of the family. So what is it he's discounting? To make kever ishto. The fact is, according to the ketubah, he has to pay for his wife's burial. So if the entire cemetery is worth $100,000, and there's 10 plots and each worth $10,000, then he has to give it back to them and collect only $90,000. Because $10,000, he actually had to expend for his wife's funeral, which of course already took place, because we're talking about Yerushat Ishto. We will begin our study of the final parak of Masechet Bechorot, Ma'aser Beima, the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.